The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and crazy. What's happening? Hopefully worthwhile and wonderful. We have a winner Wednesday. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. As we gather together as one and maintain our unity and fight to keep that unity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First up. He's a pastor, he's an author, he's a brother, and sometimes he's a legend. We are blessed today to have him with us today. It's going to be, during the first segment, Pastor Ray Bentley, live by phone. Looking forward to that. Hopefully he'll call in and didn't forget me. Lowly Dave, you never know. Next, politicians keep saying stuff. But God's word holds the truth. So we examine what our priorities are based on what God has to say. God created the universe, and the dude can write a book. And finally, because we are believers, we never blame God. All right, we act like we never blame God. But even the stellar Bible heroes had their challenging moments.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Very good things, all three. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Maybe not such great three things. It's kind of like not the same. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Just a ton more. You know, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, we're going to do it a little different today because Ray is supposed to call in like the next couple of minutes. So we're not going to drop a trivia question to start, but we will be doing trivia. We will be doing that in the next segment. I have no idea how long this segment's going to go. We're just going to go and have fun and see what happens. If you need to get a hold of us, you know you can always email us, david@hemustincrease.org, or you can always text 214-210-8483. You can call in, but we're probably not going to take too many calls until we get Ray in because that's kind of like the way that we do it. Here's the bottom line, though, and I don't want you to ever forget this. We are all brothers and sisters, and I'm excited to have Ray on the show. But the most important thing is that collectively we support one another, we strengthen one another, and we bless one another. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God except for Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only, and we don't need any other superstars to try and step into the place. But we are brothers and sisters together supporting one another. This just happens to be somebody that supports me and is a great blessing for me, and I want to share that with you guys, and I think you can make that connection and understand that. So we're blessed that it's going to be moving in that direction. We are excited, and I don't know how long, like I said, he'll talk, but I got a couple things I want to ask him. So bottom line is, as you know, this show, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, and we're asking you to remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. And it's this opportunity for you to be blessed. Here, let me bless you real fast. Okay, there. You've been blessed. It's the David Spoon Experience, so buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Before we do anything else, before Ray comes on, before anything, we must do what is most important for Christians to do, and that is to remember our DNA. What are you made of? What are you built of? What is a part of you? And so we have three steps in our DNA because there's three letters in DNA. The first letter is D, and that's for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
How often? Daily. We're supposed to ask the Lord for our daily bread. See how that works? Daily. See how we do that? All right, there's Ray calling in. Number two, never be ashamed. And then number three is always be ready. And since Tira is talking to Ray right now, always be ready to serve. Always be ready to serve the Lord. That's the big thing. Okay, we got Ray on the phone. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally. I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times. How's
Amen.
That?
Amen. Especially if you think about Psalm 23 being written in a cave, and people don't realize in the darkest moment the best thing came out. Let's talk about a couple of things real quickly, and then I'll let you kind of segue in. First and foremost, a lot of people who are in this audience have listened to me talk about you and talk about your book, This Day. And I've used This Day several times to teach the various devotionals. And then a couple of people, we put it on our website and had some people purchase it because it's an important element, no matter what we go through eschatologically, to be very connected to the Lord day by day by day. And I think people miss that and think that they're going to fill up just on Sunday mornings, and that never works. What led you to write This Day?
You know, I think that when I first got saved, and then I was like, okay, so I'm saved. I started going to a local Nazarene church because that's what my grandparents and my parents went to. And so now I'm going to church. I was in like junior high and learning about God. I've got a little community and so forth. And but then, you know, the youth pastor started saying, hey, I hope this is not the only time you pick up a Bible. You know, you're a disciple, just like Peter and James and John and Mary and Martha. So they were with Jesus and heard and hung on his words every single day. And that's what you can do. You can actually read the Bible on a daily basis, not just for information, but God, because it's his word and it's alive and living and breathed, but God breathed, God can speak to you, make the word come alive every single day of your life. So that became a habit and pattern of my early Christian life. And then I was like, well, you know, I've read other people's devotions and I just thought, you know, I want to write I want to take thought. And I've collected them over the years, and to put them together to give people something, a little nugget, a scripture, a thought for the day, and to kind of get them launched, you know, to spend time in his word. So that's where it came from. And, you know, I'm just so thrilled that you have used it or liked it or God's used it. You know, his word is amazing. So I'm thrilled that people can be blessed by it.
Yeah, it's excellent. And I've told people before, it's on our website, hemustincrease.org. It's the very lead link. So if you guys have any interest, and Ray will testify, I don't get anything for this. There's nothing I'm getting. There's no. I'm just telling people, it's a great devotional. If the Lord tarries for whatever reason, it will become a classic. But if the Lord doesn't tarry, it doesn't have time. So that's a whole separate issue. We'll deal with that
exactly.
later on. Another point. Okay, couple things to throw in your direction, but I do want people to know, and they're not aware, that you guys had a celebration at Maranatha Chapel. For those that don't know, Ray is the senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. Fabulous church. You guys had a feast, a gathering. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, this last Saturday, we had a what we call Feast of Trumpets. You know, there are seven feasts that are mentioned in Leviticus 23, and God told Israel, look, there are seven dates every year on your calendar where I'm going to show up. And so he put it on their, you know, monthly planner and said, meet me in Jerusalem. I don't care where you live, north, south, east, west, seven times a year, I want you to meet me. So, you know, what's amazing is there are four in the spring, and there are three in the fall. Well, the four in the spring point to the first coming of Christ. And, you know, you look at it, Christ was literally crucified on the Feast of Passover. He was buried literally on the second feast, which is unleavened bread. He rose from the dead literally on the day of the third feast. And then 50 days later, you've got Pentecost, and literally on the day of the feast, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Well, then, so that's, we can all see that. The church has celebrated that generally with a Good Friday service, Easter service, maybe a Pentecost service. But we've neglected, for some reason, the three feasts in the fall, or we think of them as only Jewish. But the reality is they're not called the Feast of the Jews, even in Leviticus 23. They're called the Feast of the Lord. So if he's your Lord, this feast is for you. And all seven feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the next feast to be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets. And that's where, you know, all God told them to do was to relax all day, don't work all day, and then blow trumpets to remind yourselves. And it doesn't even say there what to remember. But what I shared Saturday night, David, was I believe it comes from the story of Moses in Exodus 19, the children of Israel have broken free from 400 years of slavery. They go to Mount Sinai. They're at the base of the mountain, and they look at the top of the mountain, and all of it, there's a cloud and thunder and lightning and fire, and then they hear this trumpet, and the trumpet gets louder and louder and louder and louder, and then God speaks and manifests his presence. So that day, the blowing of the trumpet brought the manifest presence of God. So what I think of it is that this will be fulfilled in some way, whatever your eschatology is. But, you know, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. Then the dead in Christ shall arise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and we shall be with the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
So that every year is on the first day of the seventh month. And, you know, so they had to have two witnesses look up and see it was the first day. So that means the moon, they look at the moon. It's a little thin, you know, crescent moon. But what if, you know, two priests had to witness it? What if there's clouds? What if it's, you know, some kind of storm? You can't see it. So for ancient times till modern times, to make sure they got the day, because the feasts are divine appointments are very important, they said, we're going to celebrate it over 2 days. That way we don't miss it. Over 2 days, they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. Therefore, it became known as the Feast You Don't Know the Day or the Hour. So what's that sound like? That's what Jesus said. I'm coming. And, you know, so anyway, in 2008, we started doing the Feast of Trumpets saying, hey, we're rehearsing. It's a rehearsal. It's a practice. And one, you know, it could be the Lord could come for the church on Feast of Trumpets. And so in 2008, we started in. Now, in COVID times, we're outside, and I just said, well, let's, you know, try it and you know, see who comes. And, oh, my gosh, over 4,000 people came and showed up and brought their trumpets and shofars, and kids had noisemakers, and we just talked about the Lord coming, everything that's going on, and blew the trumpets and worshiped God. It was just an incredible evening.
Awesome. That is the best so awesome. That, I mean, I just love that. Did you, is that, because of the Feast of Trumpets, is that why eschatologically people say, hey, I'm just waiting for the trumpet? I'm just waiting for the trumpet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's yeah. all connected. So that's what I tell people in our audience. I don't give them the particular eschaton. I say, but boy, when that trumpet blows. Okay. So that,
yeah, yeah.
And this then leads into your series that you've been yes. working on for a while. I know you've been working on it more than an hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So tell people about this other book series that you've created, the Chronicles that you've created, and then your most recent book, yeah. The Cyrus Mandate.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, you know, by God's providence, I met these authors, Bodie and Brock Taney, and it's spelled T-H-O-E-N-E. And they have been around for the last 3 decades or so. They've written 70 novels. She wrote this, you know, thing called the Zion Chronicles. They've sold like 35 million copies, you know, so they didn't need me. They didn't need anything, you know, but I met them, and they've always written about the past, you know, from the first century, maybe the rebirth of Israel, what happened to the Jews, and they're kind of historical novels. They got real stories in history put into a novel, a story. Well, when I met them, I had this idea that what if we took your ability, Brock Taney is the researcher, you know, he is par excellence, and then Bodie is a tremendous storyteller, and then I'm kind of the prophecy guy, and I said, well, could you take that and let's write about what's happening literally right now, 2020, and put it into a story so that people go on a journey and there's real events, real history, real prophecy, real political stuff going on, and yet the Bible right in the middle of it. So this is now our third in the series. The first one's called On the Mountain of the Lord. The second one is called The Threshing Floor, which has to do with the Temple Mount. And this one is called The Cyrus Mandate. It's available today.
Today.
On Amazon.
Today.
Today. Today. Order. Order today. The Kindle version. I think tomorrow will be the e-book, but it's on Kindle. You can order the paperback. And probably within a few weeks, we'll have the audio. We're working on the audio part, but it's available. Order it. The Cyrus Mandate. And really, the Cyrus Mandate is really about what God is doing literally right now between Israel and America. It's an I can't wait. I'm going to send you one. You get a copy, and I think you're going to love it. I think it's my best one so far, our best one so far.
Excellent. All right, so there's a couple of things for people to hear that Ray said. First of all, you can get it on Amazon. So if you go into Amazon and you type in Ray Bentley, B-E-N-T-L-E-Y, you're gonna find his books.
Cyrus Mandate.
The Cyrus Mandate, okay? That's number one. And you might want to pick up some of the other ones. Number two, if you type in Ray Bentley into Google, there's like 9 initial things that come up that are all Ray, and you can click on them and get there some way, shape, or form. Also, there's raybentley.com. So you don't have, you can also go directly to his website and buy it directly out there. Again, and Ray will tell you, I'm not getting anything for this. I just think that Ray is a great influence, a great encourager, a modern-day Barnabas, which is difficult to find, you know, very difficult to find. And I would just encourage everybody, if you're into this part of understanding or if you're longing to understanding what's going on with you, get Ray's material. You'll love it. You know I believe in what he stands for. You know I teach his material. So there's nothing to hold you back whatsoever.
Amen. And we have another one that's got more teachings, series, and stuff called Maranatha TV. It's an app that you can download. It's free. You just, you know, you got to make register, give us your name, and make up a password. But everything on there is free, and it's mind-blowing, and it's relevant. It's what's happening right now.
Now, you know, as a Jewish man, free is my favorite price, so that's always a good one. I'm just saying.
You're blessed. So I look at it this way, David, you know, God said, I will bless to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So when I find a Jew, man, I want to bless him because I want to be blessed to God. So I found David, Dr. David Spoon. I said, man, if I bless this guy, I'm going to be blessed. And it's been true.
Yeah.
You and Noel are awesome.
Let me tell you how I prepped for this interview, just so you can know. I listened to Welcome to Paradise by Randy Stonehill. I thought you would appreciate the old classic Christian material.
Man.
Like, oh my goodness.
That's so cool. Oh. Going back to the Jesus people
days,
man.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. It was so great. It's so great. I love it.
Okay.
So, I live in all the time frames. That's the problem right there. Awesome, Gray.
Thank you, David.
I love you, brother. We'll keep praying for you. We'll keep promoting. We'll keep telling people. If you have any questions, people, you can always directly email me. I'll send you and connect you up to Raise Materials. Not a problem. I hope, my brother, that you have an absolutely fantastic, blessed day, and it cannot be another 4 years before you're back on the show.
Amen to that, yes. May the Lord, let me just give a blessing. May the Lord bless you, David. May he bless your wife, your beautiful wife, your family, your ministry. You are a voice not unlike a trumpet that God has raised up to sound and to waken the church. These are great days. They're good days. They're spirit-filled days. God's on the throne. The Lord wins. The church is going to succeed. God will not lose one that the Lord has given to him. And these are the most exciting days to be alive. So rejoice in the Lord always, and let him be your strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you giving us your time, and God bless you in everything that you touch.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, take care. All right, folks, wasn't that fun? What'd you think, T? That was so much fun because it's just kind of different. And you haven't had a chance to do a lot of interviews and stuff like that with me. So, yeah, they talk. Duck. I mean, I might have a question or two, but talk. Tell us.
It was very interesting.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? It's like interesting radio. That's what I like about this.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take our break because I need a little bit of mind reset. I don't know how long it'll be. So you're just going to have to listen and do your best to hang in there with us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean,
ready.
This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay.
Okay.
1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Now, I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left.
God knew what it would be if it went, if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we just concluded our interview with Pastor Ray Bentley. Was that not just fun? I mean, it was fun. It was great to do. I love, by the way, for those that don't know, I love doing interviews, but the COVID scenario has dropped a lot of that opportunity, and people are not as, for whatever reason, I don't know why it changes the phone, but it just does for some people, and just can do the best you can. But that's the first interview we've had in months, and Ray is such a delight. I'm just so blessed that he was a part of that. All right, let's do this, because we have to do this. We have to do a trivia question, so I want to do that. Plus, we have many other things to cover. Let's keep the trivia straightforward. Okay, ready? What was the name of the queen that was thrown out of a window? Not the best name in the world to name your child. What was the name of the queen that was thrown out of the window? If you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. You can also call in, because now the line is clear. 972-445-0770. And let's not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so I'm not gonna harp on you a lot about this, but we are at, what are we at? Is this like the 23rd? Is that what it
is? Yes,
it's the 23rd. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, good job on handling all that and so on and so forth. I'm very, very happy about that, because that means that we'll be doing more and more interviews. All right, so it's 23rd. So here's the deal. There's 7 days left in September. Okay, if you can give, give. If you can't give, God bless you for wanting to give. If you don't want to give, and you can't give, and you don't want to give, then you have a whole separate issue. It's not my problem. It's not my. You got to work that out between you and the Lord. All right. So most of you don't realize that I am able to talk for a very long time. So what we're going to do is we're going to skip our normal break at the 2:30 mark and go straight through to the 2:43 mark. So this way I can catch you up on a ton of different things that are going on. So let me give you a quick update on the school scenario, just so you can be in the exact spot. I mentioned it yesterday. So what has happened is the PhD in Bible exposition has moved, okay, not demoted or not promoted. It's moved from a PhD in Bible exposition to a doctor of ministry in apologetics. Apologetics is the defense of the faith at various levels. I mean, it's probably at about 50 different levels. But one of the things that I do that I really strongly believe in, and one of the reasons that I was going for the PhD in Bible exposition, is I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that God created the universe, therefore he can write a book. That statement is an apologetic statement, okay? And since everything I kind of do and live by is that, after talking to the online dean and talking to some different people and coordinating the colleges, that determination opened, that door opened up for me. And then the unbelievableness, remember I told you it was kind of like a weird scenario? Normally, a doctor of ministry in apologetics is reserved for people that are in a church or in a normal format. We're doing ours in the radio show, which nobody has ever done before. So this is going to be new territory, new territory. But that's fine. It should be a lot of fun. And if I make a bunch of mistakes, which I promise you I will, then you can forgive me and help me walk through it. How about that? That's our commitment to one another. All right. Let me get into a teaching as we are right there, and then I'll do the history on the next one, if that's good. Okay. Have you ever heard of a guy named Mephibosheth? Now, this is not a child's riddle. I remember the first time I heard this preached, North Phoenix Baptist Church, Mephibosheth. And I'm thinking, wow, that is, what a name that is. That's tough to, you know, say or think about. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel, and his nurse took him and fled, and it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So if you'll remember the story of David, and many of you do, and you will remember his relationship to Saul and his relationship to Jonathan, Jonathan and David were best buddies. Saul was the king. Jonathan was Saul's kid. And so what Jonathan did was help David make an effective relocation and escape, which I just discovered today is somewhat the time of it is somewhat disputed, because from the time that David left out of Saul's presence into the time that he came back to Judah where he became the king, there's some discussion on whether that's 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, or 9 years. Nah, I don't think it matters. I think what matters is that Jonathan and David were closely knit, and David made a commitment to Jonathan, and Jonathan said, I want you to make sure you're not going to take any kind of wrath or any kind of vengeance on my kids, on my family, on my people. And David made that commitment. What I want you to get in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, is that Mephibosheth is an offspring of Jonathan, and he was crippled, or he was lame. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't, you know, function properly. He was at a tremendous disadvantage. And I remember when the preacher in North Phoenix Baptist Church looked at his audience, and just to give you an idea how big this church was, the auditorium seated like about 5,000. So it's like huge, right? And he looks around at everybody. And then he says this. He said, "You are Mephibosheth." And I was thinking, what? What? And he goes, "You," and you know, I'm thinking in my mind, but he's preaching, and was he just one of the best preachers? "You are Mephibosheth. You are lame and unable to walk without help." Now let that sink in for a second. Like, yep. I'm Mephibosheth. It's like there's not even a problem if you get to be honest in your Christianity. Yes, that's me. I walk, but I walk kind of goofy, and I need help to walk right. I'm that guy. Now watch this, because this is where it went, and this is why I love stuff like this. Mephibosheth, this is 2 Samuel 9, 6 through 7. "The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, fell on his face, and prostrated himself. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he said, 'Here is your servant.' And David said, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and will restore you all the land your grandfather Saul owned, and you shall eat at my table regularly.'" Here is this guy who is crippled because he was dropped. And he comes before the king. And if you're not familiar with how society was back then, when somebody would take the throne, one of the first decisions that would be made is how many people of the prior family to execute to make the statement there's somebody new on the throne. When Mephibosheth came before the king, before David, he bowed before him, no idea where it was heading. And David said, "Do not fear. I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to restore you. and your land, and you're going to eat with me on a regular basis. I'll tell you another reason why you and I are Mephibosheth. Because God, through Jesus Christ, as though Jonathan was a kind of a Christ-type figure, through Jesus Christ, tells you and I not to be afraid. He's going to be kind to us for the sake of Christ. He's going to restore us, and he's going to help us eat at his table regularly. And he's going to help us walk. And one of the first things that the king says to Mephibosheth, which is something that I think you and I might not recognize, and it's easy to miss this, but he says, do not fear. One of the major components of Jesus's first message after he resurrected, when he showed up with the disciples, was don't be afraid. Because fear paralyzes, destroys, torments. Don't have the terror. Don't have the fear. And that's the first response the king gives, and that's the first response for you and I. You know how you don't know what's going to happen? You know how you don't know what tomorrow is going to be? You don't know how this is going to pan out, or whether this situation will pan out, this circumstance, this relationship, this job, this financial, this. The first thing the Lord says to each and every one of us, do not fear. No, there's not 365. I know people have said that. There's 165, by the way. But the idea is to not be afraid. Why? Because God has selected you for the sake of Christ and in the name of Christ to be before his presence continually. And he's telling you, don't be afraid. Don't worry. You will continually be brought before the king's table. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and through 21 and basically through 22, you find out that it is through the presence of Jesus Christ, through the new way, actually it's Hebrews 9 or 10. The idea is that the presence has been opened up for us to go into the Holy of Holies through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Guess what? Through Jesus, you get to come into the presence of the King every day without reservation. And you don't have to come in fearfully. You can come in with confidence. And what I'm telling you is how important it is for you and I to understand we are Mephibosheth, God is the king, Jonathan is the Christ, and you can just look at that and go, wow. And we get to eat at the table of God on a regular basis. It is Hebrews 10. Here's the bottom line. I'm lame. I fall and I fail. And as much encouragement as I can give people, I have got more. I've got enough sin inside of me. I mean, it's horrifying. But just like I said the other day, which Eric, I made a comment to, and I really appreciate that he caught that Jesus is a better Savior than I am a sinner. And he redeems me and pulls me out and doesn't let me go drowning. Remember when Jesus and Peter were on the water? Do you ever wonder? I mean, I do, because I think about this, and maybe you have too, where Peter is walking on the water. So the Bible says he gets out of the boat, which first and foremost is unbelievable. What a moment of faith. He's walking on the water. Peter walked on the water. W-A-L-K-E-D. Walked. Past tense. Can't change it. Okay? Walked on the water. Then he started to sink. Remember? So it's like, uh-oh, down he goes, right? Started to get, you know, watching all the stuff going around him. And what happens? Jesus grabbed him and pulled him up. How close is Jesus that he could just grab him while he's sinking in the water? Have you ever gone in the water? Have you ever, like, jumped in the water feet first? Do you know how close somebody has to be to grab you and to get a hold of you? They have to be, like, with an inch away. That's how close the Lord is. And you think, well, why? Here's the cool part, right? Because he loves you.
Right, here's the theological part. But why? Because that's why.
Oh, I know. You're looking for this grand. I mean, I could do that all day long. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you're Mephibosheth. He brings you into his presence. You don't have to be afraid. Even better than all of this, he restores unto you what's lost. He will make sure, for the sake of your Savior, Jesus Christ, that life is right. And there's coming a time. Doesn't mean you won't have trials. Doesn't mean there won't be hard things. Doesn't mean there won't be storms. Doesn't mean any of that. But it does mean that if you sink and you're going to drown, that the Lord is so close that he'll grab a hold of you and pull you out of the depth of the water so the water doesn't overwhelm you to the point where you can't breathe, and he will set you back into the boat the way that you need to be put in. That's what it means. And you think, well, can I count on that all the time? Matthew chapter 1 says that Jesus was named Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I want you to look at that. Matthew 1, God is with us, right? Matthew 28, when he's giving the commission, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in Matthew 1, he promises through his name to always be with us. In Matthew 28, he promises to always be with us. The first gospel starts and finishes with the promise that God is with us. And you think, well, what if I mess up? You mean like Peter, after he spent 3 years with the Lord on a very close, very in touch, very connected basis, doing ministry, and then when the crucial moment came, he denied Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus did what? What was one of the first things Jesus did? Restored Peter. 3 times Peter denied. 3 times Jesus restored him. Do you love me? Number one. Do you love me? Number two. Do you love me? Number three. Different Greek words on a couple of those, which is kind of cool. What does that mean? That means that in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you, even if you mess up, will not be lost as long as you turn your heart fully to the Lord, okay? You don't have to be perfect because you're not, all right? That's what grace and mercy are. That's what forgiveness is about. And I want you to know, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's my privilege as your brother in the Lord, to remind you. As Peter said, it is no burden for me. It is not a burden for me. I rather love this. This is my fave thing in the universe. Right? All right. And I love you guys, but I want you to hold on to these truths. They're critical and they're important. Okay? All right. Now, because we only have 20 seconds left. How's that? Do you like the way I covered that? Yeah. Tease with me. She gets it. All right. Here we go. What was the name of the queen who was thrown out of the window? Jezebel. Hopefully none of you have named your children Jezebel, because I don't want to get a letter about it. Somebody might send me. Please don't do that. Thank you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about livinginhisgrip.com, where you can get some of our music for free. It's under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N Project. So you're welcome to do that. Let's see. We got a trivia, and then we got history, and then we got another teaching. So here is the trivia. Who had shoes that lasted for 40 years and did not wear out? Who, this would not be good for a place like Shoe City. Who had shoes that lasted 40 years and did not wear out? If you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can also call 972-445-0770. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen. Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, uh-oh, what's wrong with that guy? All right, let's do a little bit of history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, for those that don't know, today is National Great American Pot Pie Day. Are you a pot pie fan? Noelle loves, like, Marie Callender pot pies.
Oh, yeah. I used to love
pot pies. She loves those pot things. Pies. Yeah. It's like, what? Okay. Too liquidy. I'm not more, like, if you get me au gratin potatoes, I like them dry. I'm just like that. I don't know what it is. It's kind of weird. But then if it's barbecue sauce, I like nothing but liquid. So who knows? See you at the poll day. See you at the poll. SYATP is an annual gathering of Christian students for all ages at the flagpole in front of their local schools. A little different now because of the COVID scenario. But it's still the. It, just in case you didn't know this, it started in 1990. It is now in multiple countries throughout the world. So anywhere where there's school, that this is the great thing about Christian faith. It seems to always make its way. Just always makes its way. Today is also National Snack Stick Day, and that would be like your Slim Jims and stuff like that. Okay. I like beef jerky, but I like the weird beef jerky. Like if you get beef jerky and it's got all those bizarro flavors, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. Big fan of the.
I like them.
Yeah,
I like the teriyaki flavor.
That's the one I like. See, look at us. You are a genius. I just want to point that out.
You're the genius.
This is what you got to do to support one another. That's right there. 1846. On this day, they discovered the planet Neptune. I don't know what it was doing. They just discovered it. And then two other things. One is very important. This one is not that. 1986, the rose, and I did not know this, the rose was voted the official U.S. flower. I did not know that. I did not know that it was a rose. I don't know that they had a vote. We're going to vote on the favorite flower. Okay, this is weird. It's a good use of the money. And then finally, the most important, 1962 on this day, the cartoon The Jetsons first aired on this day. See, now that's important. Okay? For those that don't understand why that's important, I can't help you. Again, the trivia question, who had shoes that lasted for 40 years and did not wear out? That's it. Here we go on our last teaching, Acts chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. Is this true? The high priest asked. Brothers and fathers, he said, listen, the glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran and said to him, get out of your country, away from your relatives, and to a land I will show you. Get out of your country and away from your relatives and come to a land I will show you. Okay? I'm just going to say this as nice as I can. Okay, I'm going to say this. And this just happened yesterday on television. Okay, I absolutely, positively think the United States of America is just a fantastic country. But it is not country first, and it is not family first. For those that do not understand, it is God first. Okay? It's not family. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your children, if you don't love me more than you love your husband or your wife, if you don't love me more than you love your family, you got a problem. If you don't love the Lord more, there is a problem. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The two commandments are what? The first one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second one, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. So then there's some pastors that will come out and say, oh, they're virtually the same in the Greek. No, they're not. Okay? The word first, watch this. Get ready. Means first. See, this is why we use words. Just like my daughter says to her children, to my grandkids, use your words. Okay, first means first, and then second means second. Okay. Okay, people. So why I'm saying that is because there's a politician that used to be like a commentator. Then he became an official. And the guy actually went on television and said, well, it's country first. And he goes, well, maybe family, but country first. It's like, dude, you've lost your mind. Your marbles have fallen out and people are playing with them on the side of the street. The bottom line is it is God first. Then it should be family. You can be very patriotic and fight back and forth depending on where you're at in your family. But I don't care what second and two and three and four and five are. I don't care. I mean, as long as tacos is in the list of the first 25, it's okay. Here's the bottom line. Faith first. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in the faith without having received the promise, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Not only is it not country first, it's not even planet first. They even said, yeah, we're temporary residents here on Earth. This is not our place. We're looking for heaven. Now, those who say such a thing make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering the land they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's not only is it not country first, it's not even planet first. Because heaven is the goal. And until you get there, watch this. This will bug you. Until you get there, you'll never be 1,000,000,000% settled, because it's where you need to be settled, is in God's land all the time. And you can have bits and pieces here on Earth. That's cool. But it's not till you get there that it's all like, got it. And so I'm not discouraging people from loving their family. I'm not discouraging people from loving the country. I'm not discouraging you from being patriotic. I'm not discouraging you from anything like that. I 100% support all of that, 1,000,000,000%. I support you being supportive of your community and of your street and of your social gathering and of your collectiveness and of your county and your area, your state. And your country and your planet. Oh, that's great. All of it behind God. He's first. That's all I'm saying. And when politicians start telling you what the priority is in life, they've overstepped their boundaries. Your creator will tell you what the priority is in life, not those who are seeking power that probably won't use it all that wisely anyway. God first. Even the motto of this station, right, talks about God and family and country, but it's God is first. And even if the station goes God, country, you know what, I don't care. God is first. And if you get the first thing lined up, the other things seem to line up. But if you miss the first one, everything you build upon that will be wrong. You see? That's the key. So out of the country, away from your relatives, to where I'm going to show you. Oh, my goodness, it's so cool. I mean, God is just, I just think God is cool. All right, who had shoes that lasted for 40 years and did not wear out? That would be the children of Israel in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 29:5. Been a really fun show, but I'm giving you a warning about tomorrow. We're doing Philippians, and we're doing our expository, and deep theological profoundness may be upon you. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.